Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Spooky, Kate Talbot, Lisa K, Jari Thorup Parlow, Lou Harrison, Elliot, Claudia Howard, Amanda Lord, Sarah Cavanna, Jessica Freeman, Fresh Cat, Dog, Elizabeth Kalbacher, Ayn Morgan, Corvin J. Lynn, Kit, Cody Wolf, Iris Lazuli, Spa, Carrie Leclerc. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Special thanks to Molly and Emily. May you never be involved in a case of hilarious mistaken identity.
Rusty Quill presents Stella Firma.
So what you're saying then is that I need to be more demanding?
Assertive. Employee personality assessment and post-incident mortality investigations suggest that assertive communication between colleagues is key to effective working relationships and non-hostile work environments.
Right. So how will I know if I'm being assertive?
Quiz time! A colleague has misplaced their pen for the third day in a row. They ask to borrow yours, but have repeatedly lost yours in the past. Do you A. give them your pen and use your own vital life fluid oozing from a wound in your hand to make notes instead? B. calmly request they requisition a new pen from supplies in full knowledge of the terrible price this will cost them and their loved ones? C. attack them violently as a drain on company time and resources, using your pen as a weapon.
I suppose I don't want to attack them.
Answer.
And their loved ones did nothing wrong.
Answer.
But it is my pen, and I didn't do anything wrong.
Answer.
I will go with A. They can have my pen, just make it stop.
Assessing response. Vocal tone. Heart rate. Sweat pH.
Wait, how do you know my sweat?
Ding! Personality assessment. Passive to passive aggressive. Some tendency towards explosive outbursts caused by intense emotional stress.
So what should I do about it?
Spend more time outside.
Oh, for board's sake!
David! David! Oh, look at you there. Oh, you're almost like a real person relaxing in your little pod there. Working at your little desk, it's nice. It's nice to see David.
I'm glad. Lovely to have a pod.
Isn't it,
by
though?
Me?
You're welcome. You are welcome.
Well,
how are you enjoying your pod, David?
It's very nice. I actually get to lie horizontally.
Ooh, that's pleasant.
There is a pillow. And an duvet.
But do you miss the chair?
No. Nope.
Just sitting up in the chair?
No. Nope.
Waiting for me?
No. Nope.
Hour after hour?
I have a little lamp.
Often
so I can
in the
see.
Dark.
Yes, I have a little lamp. I can turn it on.
Nice.
Lights up my desk.
Very nice.
The little image in terminal, so I can just...
You what now? What did we discuss, David?
Oh, no,
you need to be careful on Imogen.
So that
if
I
people
could...
find out that you've still got... People find out that you've still got access, isn't it?
So that I can browse the authorised and sanctioned parts of Imogen's database in order to supplement my work.
Clearing terminal cache, erasing browsing history, eating cookies.
It's dodgy ground, David. The fact that you've got an Imogen terminal at all as a clone is a little bit here and there.
It's built into the desk.
Yes, but it's for me. It's not for you.
But that's my desk.
It's in
my pod.
Oh, is it? Oh, this is your desk in your pod. These are all Stella Firma desks and pods, David. You are just allowed to sleep in one.
Well, in a Stella Firma sanctioned desk that is sanctioned for clones like me, there is an Imogen terminal.
All right, David. Maybe it's the
look,
case
it's
that I've
small,
never been entirely clear on what the rights of clones are. Yes, that's possible, but...
Look, it's small, it's got big buttons, it's made of red plastic, but it's still my terminal.
It's clone's first terminal, yes.
They grow up so fast.
But you're enjoying a new
Yes,
pod.
I am. I enjoy feeling like a person.
Oh, I see. You've drawn little pictures and sort of stacked them
no,
up.
No, you can... No. Give that back.
What's the... Who's the... David, is this a... Have you drawn a picture of Bathin?
No.
Well, I mean, it says Bathin and you've put a heart on the top of the eye instead of
I
a dot.
I have not.
Well, I mean, you've drawn him with such rippling abs, David.
Well, from what we...
Any pictures of me in it? Any fond pictures of Trexel Geistman, your saviour, your trial saviour?
Oh, no, because you obviously transcend the visual image and cannot be captured.
Thank you, David. That's very kind. Hmm. That's very kind. But I'd like you to draw a picture of me. Right now.
Right.
Draw a picture of me, David.
Right now.
Right now.
Oh, okay.
Can you wait?
Can you give me my pens back, please?
Here you go.
Right, just a
bit. No, I'm going to strike a pose.
Yikes.
Triumphant. Ooh. Powerful. Right.
Okay, here we go.
Knowledgeable, certainly. Okay. Beyond reproach. Feared by his enemies.
And how long do you want me to spend on this?
As long as it takes to capture all this.
All of it?
All of this.
Just really...
Mighty.
Getting it all.
Thrusting. Okay. Dignified.
Can you stop thrusting, please?
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Okay, what have you got?
Carry the two. And there we go. There you go.
Let's move on, David. That's just, that hurts.
What?
Don't just, I mean, that's very insulting.
I just drew you.
Oh, I see.
What?
That's what you see, is it?
I told you that your countenance was uncapturable, like trying to pin lightning to a paper. So, if I failed, that's my artistry failing you, right? Agreed?
I can accept that. This is your failure, not mine.
That's how it works.
Wonderful stuff. Okay, well, how about we get on with the brief then,
oh,
David?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
Push on and get on with the brief, because I feel like you're wasting time.
Yeah, you're so focused. Okay,
initiating.
Right. This is one. Right. Strap in. I am Fugatissimon.
Okay.
A proud Merc Phonotographer of Mar Parkonk.
Okay.
And I am Arcazianium. A wandering, extra-dimensional being lost in the confines of your miserable four-dimensional space.
Wait. Just a minute. Mm-hmm. Is this two people with different personalities, or is this one person with two aspects? There's dimensional stuff in there, they're extra-dimensional, but also they're a Merc Phonographer, whatever that is.
A Merc Phonotographer.
Whatever, David,
well,
but...
they phonotograph Merc.
Look, I can't just walk in to a client briefing and be surprised because there's two, or surprised because there's one, but they've got two distinct aspects.
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know how wandering extra-dimensional beings who have been lost in the confines of our miserable four-dimensional space work.
This is just
they
so
might
typical.
Be possessing, Arcazianium might be possessing Fugatissimon, or... Fugatissimon might just be friends with Arcazianium.
Let's assume they're friends, because it's really difficult to... If you ever tried to communicate to a person that's got two aspects, and you're talking to them, and you see their eyes glaze over, and you're like, oh, we've gone to another aspect now, and they haven't heard anything, because they were in another dimension.
Well, isn't that our job?
Well, it's not our job to be...
Isn't
to
that
be
our, literally our job?
By two that, people in
no,
one body.
I'm pretty sure that's literally our job. If the person is a client... Then, well, we do what they want.
Oh, I see you're following the party line now, are you?
Yes!
Oh, okay.
All the guns are pointed at you!
Which I also follow to a T. I just feel that... No, I don't feel anything. I follow the party line.
So, are we agreed, Trexel, that I am right, Trexel, that we should treat these beings with respect, regardless of whether they are two beings in one body? Or two beings in two bodies. Trexel? Sorry, can I just... Should we be...
Yes, David, you are absolutely correct. That is the correct way to approach a client, respectfully.
High-roading detected. Security alerted.
Right. That's good. Shall we continue,
Why not,
Trexel?
David? Why not? Sounds like you've got it all worked out.
Right. Preferred pronouns are they and them.
Fine.
For the both of them.
Fine.
Why do they want a planet built? So we are going halvesies, so possibly an important clue, on a planet built to hold birthday parties for our niece.
So they're a cheapskate.
What?
Oh, I can't buy a planet for my niece. We have to go halvesies because I'm a cheapskate, because I don't really love them.
Well, that's a question, because they both have the same niece, who is Rosie Nix, who's turning six.
Yes.
But they're going halvesies, which implies maybe two separate beings. Right?
Maybe they're consciously coupled.
Consciously
coupled beings.
Consciously coupled?
Yes.
What is a conscious coupling?
A conscious coupling is when you, like, you look at somebody in the eyes and go, we're coupled. An unconscious coupling is when you walk by someone and then suddenly realise you know everything about them because you've made a telekinetic bond by accident.
Right.
It happens more than you'd think.
Right. That sounds horrifying.
It's real weird.
Yes.
Suddenly you're eating food being like, I don't like this food, why am I eating it? And you're like, I've unconsciously coupled with someone.
Okay.
It's expensive and it hurts.
Right, well, let's assume. Compromise here. Not possessed. Not two completely separate beings. A consciously coupled duo super being.
Fine. Duo super being it is. That I can swallow.
Okay. So, Rosie Nix is turning 6. She is about to be a 6-year-old human child.
Oh, great. So now we've got consciously coupled multidimensional beings and they've had...
Well, I think... So, Arcazianium...
Yes.
...is a wandering extra-dimensional being, specifically. But Fugatissimen...
Can we call them Fugu?
Fugu?
I can't manage Fugatissimen.
An Arcazianian.
Fugu and Archie.
Nicknames detected. Security alerted.
Fugu and Archie.
Sold.
Right. So Fugu is a proud Merc phonotographer of Marpark Onk.
Mm-hmm.
Not a clue where Marpark Onk is, or...
It is a lovely place. It...
What? In this dimension. So it's a four-dimensional place.
Yes, yes, of course.
Right, so Fuga... Fugu.
Yes.
Fugu is a people person, and Archi is a, well, extra-dimensional people person.
Okay,
so we've got a mix.
Fine.
But they've both got a human niece.
Sure.
Right.
Look, it's the modern age, David. People do all sorts of crazy things.
Okay, so planet must hold at least 20 children of varying sizes and possibly their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Parents optional, it seems. Also, if you could please include crepe paper streamers, that would be lovely.
I see. Okay, so it's a basic children's party planet.
Yeah.
Well, we've done a party planet and we've done a marmalade creche on a lava world, so just whack them together, we're done.
Well, no, we just designed the planet.
Yeah, there we go.
That's not our job.
What?
We are sales, we're selling...
I forgot, we're sales now, aren't we?
You forgot?
Well, you know, I've got a lot on.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And where else? Where have you been in the intervening time?
Hmm? Oh, around and about.
At the astral
bar. Yes, well, yes, mostly, but I've been doing work there, David. I've been working on a new thesis.
And, right, and I'm going to regret this, but what is your thesis, Drexel?
It is the concept that maybe I am the actual, literal, physical centre of the universe.
Did you internalise the god stuff from yesterday?
Hmm? Well, maybe I left with a bit of a... Bit of a spring in my step.
What is your centre of the universe name?
Drexel the Mighty.
Drexel the Mighty.
Well, the mouse thing went sound so well, they believed so much that we were a mouse god.
Okay. I mean, they did, you're right. They
and
did.
Then I went to the Astro Bar and went to the bartender and said, I am your god, give me a drink. And they just sort of sighed and pushed one towards me, which I think means they believed me. So now I'm just going to sit in there looking, you know, deatific and hope that people bring me things.
Okay, well...
Hence the thesis.
Well, any extracurricular godhood is not going to help us sell this planet, so let's just push that into a box never open again.
Fine.
A reminder to employees. We make planets, but that does not make you a god.
Right. Anyway, tell us about your likes and dislikes. So, so this is about Rosie, not about,
Because the planet's
Fugu
for
her.
Yes, I understand.
So Rosie enjoys mud, sticks, sweet things, candy, synovial fluids, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And bugs, especially slugs. Okay. And being tossed very high in the air. She dislikes broccoli in early bedtimes. If you were an animal, what would you be? So they would be the illustrious double-crested beaver with the name Castor Crestatus.
Very specific, but okay.
Right, I don't know what a double-crested beaver is.
Well, you know a beaver.
What is a beaver?
It's hard to describe, really, David. You know...
Is that sort of lumberjack thing?
It's like a lumberjack, except instead of an axe, you've got a face, and you swing your face violently into some wood.
Right, to do what?
Who can say?
Right, and, what happens when it has double crests?
Ah, well, this is because the beavers now are quite pompous and have really got into the whole heraldry thing. And not only that, they've got into double heraldry. Here's my family arms and your family arms, and now they're both my family arms, double crest.
Ah, well, that makes sense since Fugu and Archie are sort of, well, consciously coupled.
It's a consciously coupled crested beaver.
So I'm going to assume that is about them and not about Rosie?
I understand. Yes, they're actually telling us. What are you? Well, in this dimension, we present as illustrious double-crested beavers.
Oh, you think they are a double-crested beaver?
Sure.
Right.
Let's go ahead on that assumption.
Fine.
So we are selling, because obviously there's two layers, and this is where sales really comes into its own, David.
Right.
Because there's two layers here.
Okay.
We are selling to one person, but the planet's for another.
Wait.
What?
What is your greatest strength? Now keep the idea of double-crested beavers in your mind.
Keeping it.
Can you see one?
I can.
Okay. Well, their greatest strength is 50 million very strong pairs of ever-shifting arms.
Oh, that does change
things. We can lift very heavy things. Is that a double-crested beaver?
No double-crested beaver I've seen, but maybe they're a special beaver. A special double-crested beaver with millions of arms.
50 millions?
They've got to be quite big. Or the arms are very small, like cilia inside your body.
Oh, so they've got sort of...
little wavy cilia arms.
Really prehensile fur.
But they're really strong.
Especially arms. Ooh.
So what that means is you've got that all over your body, which means any objects you want, you can just sort of like glue them to yourselves and manipulate them. You can do so many tasks at the same time.
Okay.
I'm doing some basic menial work, but also I'm writing my thesis about how I'm actually a god on my back.
Not a god.
That's actually interesting, because their greatest weakness is it can be occasionally be difficult for us to maintain a healthy work-life balance.
Exactly. When you can do that much, should you do that much?
Also...
take care of yourself.
Occasionally be
David,
difficult.
Take care of yourself.
What? Oh, no!
Sorry.
I'm just gonna...
initiating self-care music and lighting.
Maybe just not. Well, in which case, I'm just gonna be present for a bit, okay?
Okay, well, fine. We are present. You've closed your eyes, David. What's going on? Shush! Okay, I don't like this, but fine.
Being present, just...
beep, beep, beep. It's time to get on, David.
Right, fine, yes, well...
self-care terminated.
Ooh, I'm so healthy now. Thanks, Drexel. Great. Right, anyway. So their greatest weakness is it can occasionally be difficult for us to maintain a healthy work-life balance. Now, that implies, again, that they are kind of inside the same physical form, because if they're... maintaining a healthy work-life balance, unless it's a problem they both share in exactly the same way, they're kind of phrasing it like they are sort of a single entity with multiple consciousnesses.
Guess what, David? You've stumbled blindly into lesson 2 of the Trexel Geisman 10 Steps to Sales Domination Program.
Okay.
Understanding the client.
Right.
Now, understanding the client is at the core of what we do, because how can you trick someone if you don't understand them? What? And what is sales if not tricking people into giving you money?
Yes, I mean, well, that second part maybe not, but yes, we have been spending quite a lot of this brief trying to understand the just
got to
all
understand
of that.
Pain points, David, and
pain
that's
points?
Where the weakness is. So their weakness
Ooh.
Is they don't maintain a healthy work-life balance, and that's where we get them, David. That's where we exploit them. That's where we grab them by the very nature of their being and squeeze, David, until the pain is too much and they say, oh, here's the money. Because they've got a niece. That's an emotional pain point. And they've got a bad work-life balance. And that's a physical pain point. And we need to jab in there.
I was going to try and sort of recap that in a sort of way that explained how bad it was. But honestly, I think you know how bad that sounds.
It's not bad, David.
Really?
It's commerce. It's what we do.
Is commerce bad? Oh,
whoa now.
Caution. What did you expect was going to happen?
David, even think slightly about what you're saying.
Commerce is great, and Stella Firma commerce is brilliant, and money going to Stella Firma is the best thing ever.
Thin? Ice.
Yeah.
David, are you trying to get us killed?
No.
Of course, commerce has its... less than positive sides of time, but that's what we are. That's what we do.
But do we really have to do it so hard?
Yes. Commerce is like a fight. Somebody else comes into the room, they've got your commerce. You want their commerce, so you've got to punch them in the face, physically and metaphorically.
But, so Fugu and Aki kind of came here asking us for a planet, so can't we just kind of give them what they want without manipulating them and threatening their niece?
David, sweet, innocent, idiotic David.
Okay, well, I was...
That's exactly what we have to do.
No, what...
They don't know what they want. They think they know what they want, but they don't know what they want, so we need to tell them what they want. Don't you remember my shouting lesson from before?
Yeah, sure, but, I mean, they've literally asked for what they want. They want a party planet for their niece.
That's
Rosie
Nix. Stuff. That's
basic. She's turning
stuff.
Six.
That's basic stuff, David. There's no upsell there. We can knock out a basic party planet at not much expense. And then where are we?
No, but we could...
selling at low value.
Couldn't we upsell things that they've again asked for without threatening again their niece, Rosie, who is six?
Mm-hmm.
She's a lot older than me, actually.
Yes. A veritable adult in comparison to you, you child.
Oh.
All right, fine. David, I'm willing to grow as a person.
Unsubstantiated.
So let's see if we can combine my unassailable, unfailable sales domination plan with your, shall we say, wishy-washy, paddle arms tactics.
Okay, well, I just want to maybe recontextualise my approach
your
a little more.
Wishy-washy, namby-pamby, fluffy, bunny world of David's
Just remember that we are going to go into a room. Well, so, exactly how big was that meeting room?
David, we were there yesterday, remember? We were pretending to be gods.
Yes, but I was very scared, so I had my eyes closed the entire time.
The entire time, David?
Yes.
I wondered why they kept on looking over at you, really confused. I thought it was because, you know, you're just weird.
Yeah, just a scrunch-faced clone.
Just a scrunch-faced clone?
Nope, didn't open my eyes at all.
I'm surprised it worked, David. I'm surprised they bought anything from us with your scrunchy, scrunchy face.
Well, maybe they liked
well,
my
it's,
scrunchy,
you know,
scrunchy face.
Well, it's sort of... What would you call it? An echoing, intimidating hall of commerce.
Right. So
doors twice as high as a human being, ceilings three times higher than that.
Okay.
Giant stone tables, cold, hard furniture, but sumptuous wines and foods. Nom, 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 nom.
Okay, so in which case, I just, when we're talking about manipulating them and tricking them and things, I just want to remind you that their self-professed greatest strength is there 50 million very strong pairs of ever-shifting arms that can lift very heavy things. So if we maybe try and manipulate them and it goes wrong, we will be ripped apart.
Ripped apart. Now that... Now, David, you've hit upon something important. It is a dangerous world, both out there and in here. So when you go into a meeting with a client, you've got to accept the fact that they might murder you. You know, they might just straight up murder you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before now, you worry about being recycled, you worry about the board, and yes, they are things to worry about. But now, the client might murder you as well.
Oh, good.
Welcome
More
to the next
things.
Level. Welcome
More
to
things.
The next
More things
level
to worry
of
about
sales.
Killing me. Brilliant. Okay.
And that thrill, David, that's why I love it. That thrill, it just gives me a feeling inside, any feeling at all. And that's why I do it, because it's like flinging yourself off a cliff into a room. You must win the sales, you must win the business, but at any moment, you might be murdered by the person across the table. It's a fight, David. Stripped to the waist and oiled up, you fight!
Caution. Dangerous mental images detected. You are advised to remove your imagination.
This explains a lot.
Hmm?
Okay. So... not dying to the client is good.
No client dying for you.
Yes. Good, great. I do not want to die to the client. So, can we maybe just roll back the understanding the client step?
How about this, David? How about this?
Right.
We are trying to understand the client.
Yes.
And we are doing that to manipulate them, but maybe in a slightly more subtle way than I was suggesting, which will almost certainly involve our body-ripping murders.
Yes, so let's say we need to upsell them.
Mm-hmm.
Got a basic party planet, right?
Yes.
So there are many, many things that you can have at a party.
Sure.
Clowns.
Add-ons.
Bigger clowns.
Massive clowns.
Robot clowns.
Golden robot gonda clowns.
Well,
I've got an absolute load of those golden robot gondolas hanging around. Once the Imogen stuff was taken out of them, they just went haywire. We had to confiscate so many of them, David, and they are just cluttering up the storeroom. Paint a face on, put a funny nose, let him in with a group of children.
Well. Okay, so the things that Rosie enjoys, mud, sticks, sweet things like candy and synovial fluid.
Okay.
And bugs, especially slugs.
Candy survival forest.
What about?
Candy survival forest.
Candy survival forest, yes. Very wooded,
just
very good.
Drop them from a helicopter into an incredibly muddy, dangerous forest, but all the plants are made of candy. If they live, they'll have fun.
Right, yes, so we have them, we kind of drop them, so they can play all these games in this big sort of candy forest, candy survival forest, right? So we drop them down, and we don't feed them for ages.
Right.
So they're just famished, and we drop them, and they play these series of hungry games,
mm-hmm.
right? And all that time, there we have, so Rosie, she likes bugs and slugs.
Yes.
So what about golden robot slug clowns?
Golden robot slug clowns. We just beat the gold into a big amorphous shape.
Yeah, what is a slug except for just a blob?
It's so simple. It's so simple it sounds stupid, but
yes.
It's not.
And
it's
they just
genius.
Flop about, maybe in some mud, and then we give all of the children a stick.
Yes.
Because Rosie likes sticks.
Love sticks.
But these sticks, upselling, but positively because she likes sticks. So these sticks are the best sticks that have ever been.
Oh, these sticks.
Harvested
Ooh.
From sacred forests.
Ooh.
But every single stick must come from a different solar system.
Exactly.
So we find the most holy planet on each solar system, grab the sticks, and in sort of some giant cornucopia of sticks, the children can choose their weapon.
Yes, choose from this arcade of holy weapons.
Right. So, right. So Fuku and Aki, they're sitting there. All of their arms are going...
I can see it now.
Yes. And you're pitching.
Yes.
Hungry Games.
Oh, these Hungry Games with holy sticks. Wouldn't you like your niece to be happy? You don't want to disappoint her, do you? Because then she might stop returning your calls.
Right. Yes. And then we can... The knocking. The knocking cometh.
David. David, it's time.
Okay.
Now, are you ready?
I'm going to keep one eye open.
It's an improvement, David.
Yes.
It's an improvement.
Actually, winking at Fugu and Arki. But, remember, Fugatissimon and Arkazianium.
Fugu and Archie.
No, they're probably not going to appreciate that. Fugatissimon and Arkazianium.
F-Dog and A-Bomb.
Better! Probably less likely to rip us apart with their 50 million shifting arms.
Who can say, David? But that's the thrill. Okay, come with me.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Ah, Funk Douglas! Amblebam! How's it hanging, you extra-dimensional mountain of arms?
Stella Firma is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill Limited and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. It was created by Tim Meredith and Ben Meredith and produced by Lori Ann Davis with executive producer Alexander J. Newell. In today's episode, Imogen was played by Imogen Harris. David Seven was played by Ben Meredith. And Drexel Geisman was played by Tim Meredith. The episode was edited by David Devereaux and Alexander J. Newell, with music by Samuel D.F. Jones and artwork by Annika Khan. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Discord, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online. Tweet us at The Rusty Quill, join our Reddit community on r/RustyQuill, visit us on Facebook or email us via mail at rustyquill.com. May the board preserve and keep you.